Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine D., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, August 5th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVII, paragraph 6. Which begins with many years ago. We're reading through two paragraphs ending with the gates of death. Our readers today are Rhonda R. on the 12 steps, Sharon W. on the 12 traditions, Marilyn T., Amy K., Robin T. Our newcomer greeter today is Wendy B., and Leslie M. will close us out with some important announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for August 4th is 15100. That's 15,100. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for August 5th, 2020, is 15104. That's 15,104. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Rhonda R., grateful recovered overeater in Atlanta. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
Thank you so much for your service, Rhonda R. And I will now ask Sharon W. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you for letting me be of service today. This is Sharon W., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXVII. We're reading the 6th and 7th paragraphs, starting with many years ago, and I will ask Marilyn T. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Aptos, California. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book came under our care in the hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here, and with some misgiving, we consented. The cases we have followed through have been most interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive, and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still more in the power that pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. So I'm always moved when I read the Big Book. From these particular two paragraphs, our leading contributor is Bill W., and some spiritual is the ideas, a spiritual remedy. And he put them into practical application to me, which is the 12 steps. And the fact that he requests the privilege that he'd be allowed to share this story with other patients is of extreme importance. This is the 12th step, being able to talk to another alcoholic, to be able to share your experience and how you have found a daily remedy for alcoholism. And the fact that we all do this, and speaking strictly for myself, I do this an entire absence of profit motive. The joy of being a sponsor, the joy of sharing the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous with compulsive overeaters such as myself, it's amazing what it does for me. It does, I say it always does more for me than it does for the sponsees I'm helping. But I get a great joy out of it. It has pulled me from the gates of death, from a hopeless, seemingly futile existence. And chronic is recovering over and over again. And that's what I was before I started doing the 12 steps of OA through the big book. I was a chronic relapser. I could not cobble together enough time. But I have found great recovery in reading the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and in sharing it with other people and just getting so much out of it, so much life, so much recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. I appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate it too, Marilyn T. Thank you very much. So, although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have an opportunity to share their experience as well. Who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Jody
Anne Marie M.
I heard Jody and Anne Marie M.
Nicole C. in California.
Nicole C. We have
Kathleen
room for you. Kathleen O. Anybody else? Okay, let's get started with Jody E., Anne Marie M., Nicole C., and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Jody E.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in Monterey, California. So, yes, many years ago, one of the leading contributors to this book, probably Bill W., acquired some ideas while in the hospital, which he put into practical application at once. That was something remarkable about Bill. He got recovered and he immediately got the idea that perhaps he could help other alcoholics. He was inspired. He was on fire with that idea, which is fairly remarkable to me that that would be his first thought, basically, upon getting recovered. And again, that's what the doctor is saying, the unselfishness of these men, the entire absence of profit motive, their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field. And you know, when I went to my very first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous in 1988, I was struck by that very thing. I was struck by the fact that this was a meeting of compulsive overeaters and there was no charge for the meeting. It was free. These people were coming together and freely offering what they had to offer. And that gave me confidence in OA, actually. If there had been a charge, I probably would have mistrusted it. It was inspiring. And they did believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. So there's power here with a capital P. So he's alluding to a higher power, to a God of one's understanding, which is why Dr. Silkworth probably didn't want, one of the reasons perhaps, he didn't want to put his name on this letter at first because he's talking about God. And that's not something that the American Medical Association would have embraced. So, yes, this amazing altruistic movement inspired Dr. Silkworth as it inspired me when I first got here to OA and as it continues to inspire me in this very meeting, and in all meetings that I go to. And with that, I pass.
Perfect timing, Judy E. Thank you so much. Anne Marie M., you'll be followed by Nicole C. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Elaine, so much for taking the meeting. I appreciate it. I'm Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater recovered through God's grace. And my goodness, I too came into my first meeting in 1988. It is a miracle to know, you know, reading Bill's story and seeing how self-absorbed he was and how money hungry he was, and what he wanted to get out of life was all about him. And to see, like it was just said, that his first thought was to, maybe this could be helpful to other people. That's amazing. You know, that's a miracle right there. And we're all miracles, I think. It's really, what I got out of this paragraph was the importance of sharing our stories with one another and to relying on other people, not relying, I rely on God, but to take other people's experience and use it for my own. And just this morning, I am having a difficult time with this situation, and I remembered a person that spoke once, and she mentioned the same kind of situation, and so I gave her a call and asked her how she got through it. And very often, I will refer to some of the stories in the back of the book, like Freedom from Bondage or Acceptance is the Answer, to others that are might be having something that struck me. Like when I read it, it you know, it helped me with a certain situation. So I can pass that on to other people. And it's so important. It's been so important for me to be open to hear what other people have to share and to listen to what their experiences are and to identify and not compare. When I came in, I compared a lot, and I didn't think I was as bad, and I thought I was better than, and I didn't think I needed this program. So unfortunately, I didn't stay in OA for all those years. I was in and out, and I always kept coming back. You know, I would try, you know, a diet program, tried hypnosis. I'd always come back to OA because this is the only thing that has helped. I had to do a lot of work. Yeah, it was free. I didn't have to pay anything, but I had to put a lot of work and effort into it. So well worth it, though, I'll tell you. And with that, Elaine, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Amory. Okay, we've got Nicole up next, and then Nicole C., and then after Kathleen O., we will take some more people to share. Please go ahead, Nicole C. Star one to unmute, please, Nicole.
Hello, this is Nicole. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you great. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. My name is Nicole C. I'm in Morgan Hill, California. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I really appreciate here where it says, with some misgiving, we consented. As a person who works in the field I work in the healthcare industry in biotech. I work closely with the culture of physicians. And I can tell you that when a physician has some misgiving, that they typically do not go forward. They typically will not go forward with action because their reputation's on the line, their judgment's on the line, their career's on the line. Definition of misgiving is a feeling of doubt or suspicion, especially concerning a future event. So these doctors, this doctor and the other doctors, it says, we consented, even with some misgiving. So they had doubt to allow them to come and tell the story to other patients. And they doubted it, and yet they still allowed it, which is, that is a very, very, very big deal for a physician. And to me, it also speaks volumes that when they say is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and wearily in this alcoholic field,
again, working in the healthcare community and knowing how physicians are, they are not quick to give up. They are not quick to say they cannot figure something out. And the fact that they were physically or mentally exhausted by this in the alcoholic field, it just speaks to the hopelessness, to the absolute hopelessness. And for me, when I think about the phenomenon of craving that I experience when I put sugar into my body, I can tell you that it's hopeless, absolutely hopeless. There is nothing any human power can do, not my family member, not work, not anything. Nothing can change what happens to me when I put it in my body. I am not eating to escape. I am eating to overcome a phenomenon of craving that I have no control over, that no physician can comprehend, that no one that is not a compulsive eater can understand. The friends that don't understand will say, is there ever a time you can eat sugar? Nope. No, there's not. Because let me tell you, 100% of the time when I put it in my body, I have a phenomenon of craving. No doctor can help me. No family member can help me. All bets are off. Thank you for letting me share. I'm so grateful for this meeting.
I am too. Thank you very much, Nicole. Okay, Kathleen, no, you're up next, but please give me a second just to let people know that we are on page XXVII in the doctor's opinion, commenting on the second and fourth paragraph beginning with many years and ending with the gates of death. Hopefully, yeah. Please go ahead, Kathleen O.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning. Thanks for your service this morning, Elaine, and everybody else on Team Wednesday this morning, helping making this meeting work for all of us and available. So Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And, you know, I love these words, excuse me, inspiring and trying to get this up here so I can remember that other word I like. Inspiring and amazing. When I came into 12-step recovery, I was inspired by, you know, people who had lost weight, kept it off. They seemed really happy about it. And for Dr. Silkworth to, you know, have Bill want to share this with other people, and for a doctor to give credit to this and back it, was, you know, something that's not scientifically proven. That's not easy for a doctor to do. So that is pretty amazing that that even happened, because once he was able to do that, you know, more people started looking at this and seeing that this might work. And to have, you know, that community spirit where these people were being so selfless and actually, you know, wanting to pass this on to other people, which is really how it works. And I know when I came in, it took me a while because I was very selfish and I didn't want to give that up because I didn't want to give up my control, didn't want to give up my will. And thankfully, what I learned in these 12 steps was that was what was making me miserable and it was what was making me eat. And so to, you know, be always working towards being selfless, letting go of my ego, letting go of my will, connecting with a higher power, that energy that comes from that, I start attracting the right people to me, the right circumstances, the right events. And, you know, it's work on a daily basis because, I don't know, maybe it's me, maybe it's being human, but it's very tempting to want to control things sometimes and take my will back. But thankfully, I'm on this line every day with all of you. We're studying this book every day. We're being reminded that how this works is to pass this program on and, you know, be like these unselfish men who had, you know, they didn't do it for profit. They had this community spirit and they were just inspired to help other people like themselves. You know, Bill W. was an alcoholic, as many alcoholics were, that their lives were being destroyed, their family lives were being destroyed. And then they found this program of, oh, you know, maybe this higher power, which is not scientifically proven, can help us and bring us back from the gates of hell. You know, I felt like I was, or not hell, but death. And I felt like I was at the gates of death every single day. And I don't feel that way anymore. So thank you so much. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathleen O. So again, as though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Would anybody like to comment on the sixth and seventh paragraph on page XXVII, doctor's opinion?
Penny L.C.
Evan.
Penny
Robert
L.C.
Evan, you.
Kevin.
Wendy B.
You. Wendy B. And Robert, I believe I heard. Robert
yes.
C. Okay.
VP.
Who P?
Wendy P.
Wendy P. Oh, Wendy P. Okay, great. I've got Penny L.C., Kevin W., I think it was, if I can read my own writing right. Robert C., Wendy P. Anybody else want to get in the queue while we got it going?
Wendy B. was the first Wendy.
Oh, we got two Wendy's. Oh, okay. We'll
yeah,
do Wendy B. and then Wendy P. And who was that last name? Okay. Well, this is a great lineup. So we've got Penny L. C., Kevin W., Robert C., Wendy B., and Wendy P. Please go ahead, Penny L. C.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And I actually realized I could relate to Dr. Silkworth in this situation because he, I'm sure at times, felt like he was out of options. You know, he worked so hard to try to bring these patients to being able to be released from their addiction, and yet so often was unsuccessful. It must have felt awfully defeated. I'm sure he tried different, you know, medical techniques, and yet Bill, in his, divine inspiration, is given this whole new perspective of what will work. And he offers it to Dr. Silkworth. And in that way, I was Dr. Silkworth. I was trying everything I could think of to find a solution, and none of it was working. And yet I decided I could give this a try. I could open myself up to the idea of a spiritual recovery. And I'm sure that felt like a real stretch for Dr. Silkworth to accept that whole premise. And yet, when you're out of options, you can feel like there's just, you're willing to give it a try no matter what. And I was too. I was willing to give this program a try, this way of life a try, these 12 steps a try, and being able to hear from another addict, one addict to another, to hear others tell my story, to hear others talk about their compulsion, the way it affected me as well, and to have be able to relate, and to figure if this person can understand that well what I'm going through, perhaps they're worth listening to. But then the other center point of everything is that God was in the middle of all of this. These conversations, these words in this big book that we will come to treasure every day. You know, there, the divine inspiration was there. Came to understand that God was the power that we needed. And AA success is the spiritual element. And I am grateful that it works in my life today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Thank you very much, Penny L.C. Kevin W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Robert C. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Evan.
Evan, I'm so sorry. Thank
and
you.
And it's you, only one U, not double U. Thank you. It's okay. It's great. I'm from California. The thing that hit me is the unselfishness of these men as we have come to know them, the entire absence of profit motive and their community spirit. Because I know me, if I had an awakening like that and I had something that I thought was going to help, I would want to put myself at the head of this vast enterprise and become the guru and charge money and say, this is how I make my living, by helping people, you know. And when I came to Visions, there was something just in the quality of the voices, that's what really captured me. It wasn't the words, it was the spirit behind the words. And I heard in that a joy and a satisfaction in helping others. And there's a really strong component to that here. And it's very beautiful. And there is no profit in this, you know, for most of us. I'm working the steps with a sponsor in Vision, and it's great. It's horribly great in that, you know, I have 107 days. I'm withdrawing from food. But I think more than that, because I just touched, you know, I just walked outside the lines of my abstinence. So I was not abstinent for one meal. And I said, okay, that was enough of an emergency for me to go, hey. So I'm experiencing a very intense withdrawal, but I don't think it's just withdrawal from food. I think it's withdrawal from self and self-control and self-managing, because I'm letting that go too and really surrendering to this higher power in all my affairs. And I'll tell you that it's really at the core of it for me is coming to trust and I realize that I wasn't surrendering and I wasn't letting go of the shape and the direction of my life because I didn't trust, even with all my years of program. And so this is just a fascinating thing. And as I let go and as I surrender the way I think things should be going, there is opening up inside of me a desire to help others, not have to carry the heavy burden of doing it all themselves. You know, turning over food is one thing, but turning over everything, that's another thing. And I just realized, my gosh, how exhausting it's been. And, you know, it's like I'd like to say I'm giving up the self-will out of some sort of altruistic or high-minded spirituality. It's really just from sheer exhaustion. That muscle doesn't work anymore to try to fix my life. That's what I've been. I've been trying to outrun the pain. Thank you. Trying to outrun the pain. You know, that when I was 8 years old, part of my strategy that of self-will was, I got to get my food. I got to get some sugar out of the top cupboard, and I've got to cover my grape nuts. I watch TV. That became part of my survival strategy. And it's like, I don't need a survival strategy anymore because I have a higher power. So thank you guys all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you, Evan Yu, and thanks for your grace on your name. Robert C., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Wendy D., and then we'll have some time for a few more shares. Please go ahead, Robert C. Star 1 to unmute, please. Robert C., star 1 to unmute.
Okay, good.
Please.
I got you. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for your service. I'm Robert, and I'm from California. And there's a couple things in this. Oh, first, I just want to say I listen a lot and I really participate, but that's kind of selfish. So this reading's, when I talk about the unselfishness of these men, I have to remember Bill W. was extremely selfish, grandiose, self-centered. He fought constantly to get his way as they were writing the book and developing the fellowship, and it was his plans. However, Silkworth calls him unselfish. Now, I want to back up and talk about what happened here was this whole thing was born out of desperation. Bill W. was desperate. Silkworth was desperate. Carl Jung was desperate. Roland Hazard was desperate. And that's what happened was it progressed. Roland got some ideas from John and Ray. The one thing that these doctors and psychiatrists had in common was they recognized that some kind of spiritual experience, what they called it moral psychology, was necessary for the alcoholic to recover. At one point, I'm not sure if it was Roland or if they were talking about Jung and Roland Hazard, if they were talking about Silkworth and Bill W., but at one point they say, I believe it was Bill, actually, he had a spiritual awakening, and he asked the doctor, what's happening to me? And he said, well, you had a spiritual experience or a shift in moral psychology, and in fact, I've been trying to reproduce that in you. So they understood how to get there. They understood what it was, but they had no clue how to get there. But out of frustration, Bill W. took the advice that he got from Ebbie Thatcher, and Ebbie told him, you have to, you know, get a relationship with God as you understand God, go out and help another alcoholic. And he started going to the Oxford groups and working their tenets. So they were putting this stuff in place. It's not that alcoholics are food or compulsive overeaters. It's not that we're like, hey, I'm not eating anymore, so now I'm benevolent, now I'm unselfish. That's not the issue. The issue is that me as a compulsive overeater, I get desperate enough and the pain gets high enough that I'll take direction. And in taking that direction, hopefully I can have a spiritual experience significant enough to rearrange the way I think and see things differently, and in that I get some freedom. That's all I really have for today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Robert C. Okay, Wendy B., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup of people who would like to comment on XXVII, that's XXVII, paragraph 6 and 7, starting with many years and ending with gates of death. Please go ahead, Wendy B.
Yeah, hi. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And what says they believe in themselves and still more in the power. And so believing in themselves, you know, is new for me. You know, before program, I had no confidence in myself, you know, only failure. And I read a verse this morning that said, standing firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. And I hear this maturity and this self-assurance on this phone line, and I'm so grateful for this transformation that God does in our lives, you know, as we recover. You know, I was told we develop self-esteem by doing esteemable acts. So as I do this work, you know, and have experiences of changed behavior and changed motives, I develop trust in this transformation, you know, that it's happened within me, you know, and I can confidently say, you know, I am recovered and I have something to offer other people. And it's like a beautiful transformation that's happened. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Wendy B. Well, that leaves us time for about 3, possibly 4 more shares. Who would like
Wendy
to comment?
B.
Oh, Wendy P.
I
thought I was hearing things. So, Wendy P., you're definitely the next person in the lineup.
Yeah, yep.
I'm sorry. And who else? Who else?
Margaret E.
And I have time
Marguerite,
for one more.
Yeah.
Marguerite. Okay, Marguerite. And one more? Anybody else want to comment on this reading today? Okay. Wendy P., please go ahead, and then we'll have Marguerite.
Thank you. To make it more confusing, I actually am also a Wendy B., but I used my middle initial just to make it weird. Thank you all for being here. I am new. I am 13 days with abstinence. 13 days. I've been coming for 15 days. And what struck me as I list, as I read this paragraph and listen to your shares, is the sentence: the unselfishness of these men. Have we come to know them? And if it weren't for the willingness of everyone on these phone lines to share so honestly and so unselfishly their experience, strength and hope, you know, I wouldn't have been able to put together 13 days. I've never been able to stay stopped. You know, I have lost and gained the same 20 pounds probably about half a dozen times. And especially during COVID-19, I laughingly say my COVID-19 is the amount of weight I put on while I've been here. And, you know, the easiest way to deal with the feelings and the isolation and the insecurity of these days for me was to eat. And hopefully that's a blessing, because I do belong to another 12-step program, and I've been going to virtual meetings with that program. And then it finally occurred to me, why don't I try some OA meetings? Because I've been through your doors before, and I had to go back out. I wasn't done. So really, I just wanted to thank you all for your unselfishness. I mean, I know we do it to keep our abstinence, and that's wonderful, but I couldn't have even begun to get this far without all of your sharing. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Wendy P. P. And Marjorie, you're up next. And can you please give us the first initial of your last name?
Yeah, it's S as in Sam.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Marguerite, recovered compulsive eater. What stood out to me was the very beginning of that second paragraph we're looking at. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients. You know, like, I think when we're still really in the throes of our addiction, we're so willful. And we can really want to force a situation, force someone to listen to us, force someone to see, you know, our point of view. And that's our selfishness. That's our pride, right? And, you know, as we're working with steps, as we're going through this process of you know, living the solution and living in recovery, we start to see our selfishness. We see our pride. We see the ways that we have force our will onto other people, right? And steps 10, 11, and 12, then we're really living in a place where, you know, we've cleaned house, we've handed these things to our higher power, we've asked them to be removed, and then we're learning to live these principles in all of our affairs. And I think, you know, this shows that Bill was living those principles. He requested the privilege of being allowed to share. And you know, that's something that we have to keep in mind when we are working with newcomers, when we're working with people who, you know, maybe they're ready, maybe they're not. We're kind of figuring that out as we talk with them. Again, we have to remember this is a privilege. It's a privilege to be where we are. It's a privilege to live in recovery, and it's a privilege to be able to share our story. And we request, we don't force. And, yeah, with that, I will pass. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Margaret S. We do have time for two more shares on the doctor's opinion, page XXVII, paragraph 2 and paragraph 6 and 7. Who'd like to share their insights on this? Their experience, strength, and hope with this clear-cut set of instructions. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kay from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Sarah Kay. Thanks a lot. Anybody else want to get in the queue here? to share on this paragraph?
Pat G from Los Angeles.
Okay, great. We'll start with Michelle F. and then we'll have Pat G. Please go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. I have a name here. Sarah K. Did I miss somebody?
Right.
Sarah. Okay. Please go ahead, Sarah, and then we have Pat G. Okay. Thanks so much.
So I just wanted to say that today is my first day on Visions for You. And I've been in OA since 1979 and recovered and lost 42 pounds and lost 22 pounds at a separate time. And now I've gained 14 pounds because I've been in relapse. And so I'm just grateful to be here today. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Oh, we're glad that you're here, Sarah. There's going to be a time to welcome newcomers, and I hope that you'll stay on and share your number so we can get some outreach to you and invite you to this this welcoming community.
I'd like to get a sponsor as soon as possible.
We'll also listen, take names and numbers from available sponsors you can reach out to or anybody that's new on the line. So welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Pat G., please go ahead and share your thoughts with us.
Thank you. My name is Pat, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I love this paragraph like most people love it. In here, I think the doctor, Dr. Silkworth, really got a chance to see the results of Bill sharing his experience, his strength and hope with another alcoholic. Because he goes on to talk about it, and he said, the unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, so that means that he has experienced Bill and his sharing and the results of them, and they followed some of them. And so the other thing that I really liked was when he talked about that how, because he's a doctor, and while his heart is still with these men, he does it for pay and profit. That's his way of living. But for us as compulsive overeaters, we don't do it for profit. We don't do it for money. We do it because we know how we felt and we want to share our experience, strength, and hope with other people. And he said, and indeed it is inspiring. It's inspiring and encouraging to him as a physician to see what we can do and help people to recover that he as a doctor could not do. And I love the line like everybody else, you know, that pulls chronic alcoholics or compulsive overeaters from the gates of death, because that's how most of us are. We're at the gate of death because we cannot stop or control our eating. And then it's the power which pulls. The power which pulls for me is God and the fellowship and hearing how other people have made it through this process and they continue and they've lost the weight, but now they're sharing their experience, strength, and hope. It's all about sharing what we have and passing it on, but we have to be an example and do the work too. Faith without works is dead. So my name is Pat G., and I am a compulsive overeater. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Pat G. Appreciate you sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and everybody that had an opportunity to do that today. We're going to now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So I will ask Amy Kay to please read A Vision for You.
Good morning. This is Amy Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. Our book is meant to be to realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day if the man is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.